Bowing down to an idol seems foreign to our Western minds, but the second commandment is more relevant today than you might think. Marvin Moore's article, Modern Idols, was originally published in the March 2021 edition of Signs of the Times. Your narrator is Joshua Kittleson, and I'm the Member Services Liaison Lead at Christian Record. Years ago, when I was a kid, my sister, who was about 10 at the time, climbed a tree in our backyard. When she got tired of playing in the tree, she began to ease her way down. In the process, she put her weight on a weak branch. Down she crashed to the ground with a thud and broke one of her arms. After a quick trip to the hospital, my sister was sporting a brand new cast, a piece of equipment that stayed with her for the next 6 weeks. Think for a moment about what happened. The branch my sister leaned on looked solid enough, but apparently it was rotten on the inside, or perhaps it had been eaten away by insects. Whatever the cause, the branch that looked good wasn't good, and it let my sister down. The second commandment in the Bible's Ten Commandments warns us about something that can let us down if we put our trust in it. It reads in part, "You should not make for yourself an image or idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Now, perhaps you don't bow down to idols. However, there are two ways in which many people in the Western world do break the second commandment and aren't even aware of it. Years ago, I read the following statement in Psychology Today magazine that went something like this. "So powerfully does the automobile satisfy our need to declare ourselves socially and individually that a visitor from a different planet might see the car as a central feature of an almost universal religion. The Sunday preening and cleaning of the revered icons is the weekly worship, and the motor show is the annual holy day celebration of the car. In addition to cars, we humans tend to worship sports and sports heroes. We worship our houses. We worship our jobs. Some of us even worship our families. Of course, we don't bow down to any of these things, but bowing down in front of a thing isn't the only way to worship it. Worship isn't merely praying to God. Real worship means putting God first in your life. Anytime someone or something besides God takes first place in your life, that someone or something has become your God. I heard a story once about a Quaker who stood leaning on the fence in his yard watching a new neighbor move in next door. The movers carried in plush living room furniture, expensive wall hangings, and all of the most modern electric appliances and electronic gadgetry. There was even a handsome bed for the cat. At the end of the day, when the last piece of furniture had been moved in and the truck had driven away, the Quaker saw his neighbor in the yard, called him over, and introduced himself. After exchanging pleasantries for a while, the Quaker said, "By the way, friend, if there's anything you're lacking, let me know, and I'll show you how to get along without it." Materialism. Things. These are the modern idols we worship. Don't misunderstand me. Money and things aren't wrong in themselves. Jesus didn't say that it would be wrong for people to gain the whole world. He said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, that it would be a sad mistake for them to gain the whole world and lose eternal life. It isn't things, but our attitude toward things that makes them idols. The second commandment strikes at the root of materialism. As a test of your materialism, ask yourself the following questions. How do you feel when someone makes a strong offering appeal in church? What kind of emotional reaction do you get when someone knocks on your door or calls you on the phone and asks you to help with some worthy cause? I've done a bit of door-to-door solicitation for charity myself, and I've gotten three basic responses: hostility, indifference, and joy. The hostile people shut the door in my face without saying a word. Fortunately, most people aren't that rude. The indifferent people will at least talk to me. After a few words, they either say no and shut the door or hand me a dollar bill and shut the door. On the other hand, the joyful people are interested in the cause I represent, even if they can't give a dime. I've seen joyful people give when I knew they couldn't afford it. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 through 46, that he presents himself to us in the form of people in need. And unless we can feel those people's heartache and help meet their needs cheerfully, we are in great danger of losing our salvation. Of course, you can turn that into a righteousness by works trip and think that because you've helped people, God must save you. But the point isn't just that you helped someone, but why you did it. Not because you're expecting to be saved through what you did, but because you love God and His suffering children. So here's the third way to spot a false god in your life. Suspect money as an idol if you refuse to help because personal monetary goals are more important to you, especially if you feel irritated about the appeals for help. God loves you. He wants you to love Him. He gave the second commandment to warn you and me about the things in our lives that can come between Him and us, the things that we think look good that aren't good. These are the things that will let us down if we put our trust in them. They can cost us our eternal life. If you ask God, He'll help you spot the false gods in your life. He'll also help you make a total commitment to Him, the only true God who is so anxious to welcome you into His kingdom someday that He's warned you about the false gods that could keep you out.